In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. This week, we're talking with filmmaker Laurie Kahn about her new documentary, Love Between the Covers, a film about popular romance novels and the author-reader community that sustains the billion-dollar popular romance fiction industry. The film has garnered rave reviews at the Library of Congress, as well as at film festivals around the country, most recently in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. It was funded both by Mass Humanities and the National Endowment for the Humanities, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Laurie Kahn to the roundtable this morning. Laurie, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of what is the story you wanted to tell with this film and some of the questions that you wanted to answer.
Well, here is this billion-dollar industry by women, for women, about women. 75 million Americans read at least one romance novel a year. And the ones who are passionate read many more per year. Sort of, who are these people? Who's reading them? Who's writing them? It's a female community, and people don't take it seriously. So I am interested in telling the stories of women, and so it sort of like was a green light for me. Like, here is an underrepresented, unheard story, and I was like, I'll dive in.
When you look at the story, give us a little bit of the history of when this type of literature really started to, I don't know, are we okay with using the word literature?
Yeah.
Okay. So our
fiction.
Fiction. When did we really start to see its rise?
Well, you know, you can trace romance fiction back to Jane Austen. I mean, she's sort of the mother of the romance novel. And she's the person who, you know, contemporary romance novelists, you know, really look up to. There have been romance novels written ever since Jane Austen. They were, in this country, the only ones that were available, or the most of them were from England, Harlequin, Mills, and Boone, in the early part of the 20th century. And they didn't allow Americans to write. They thought that they didn't need Americans until about the 1970s, if you can believe it. And it coincided with the mass production of paperbacks, cheap paperbacks, and the industry took off. And when Harlequin became really successful and was making lots of money with romance novels, the publishing houses took note. And now all of the big publishing houses have a romance division that is the most profitable part of their company and pretty much, you know, making it possible for them to publish literary fiction and other things that don't sell.
When you think,
and then, you know, further into time, you know, my main characters are really interesting characters, and one is an African-American author who takes trips with her readers to places where her novels, historical novels, are set. And African-American romance authors weren't allowed in the door until the late 1980s. You know, black authors have told me they were told, you know, black women don't read and black love doesn't exist. And they're like, holy moly, no. And another one of my main characters is a surgeon who writes lesbian romances.
Mm-hmm.
And those also are a fairly recent thing. And then there's historical and vampire and werewolf romance novels and time travel and suspense romance novels and Christian evangelical romance novels, you know, Latina romance novels. There's all sorts of romance novels these days. It's exploded since the 1980s. It used to be mostly, you know, the what everyone thinks of. You know, the bodice ripper with Fabio on the cover.
Right.
And that's not what this world is now.
There was a time, that world, though, of that, of sort of, I don't know if you want to say height, of the monthly romance novels that would come out and fill bookstore shelves. And it was a very... besides being lucrative, it certainly had a huge followership and readership and which is something about your documentary I find fascinating, is really tapping into that community of readers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a community of readers, and the other thing that my film looks at is why are these books as powerful and as compelling for their readers as they are? And I think the answer is that they are about archetypal virtues. I mean, they are stories that romance, love stories have been with us forever. But in these stories, it always ends with a couple getting together, the same way mysteries always end with the murder being solved, or sci-fi ends with the good people winning and expelling, you know, the alien invaders or something. So the way that you get your happy ending in a romance novel, if it's well written, is that you become more courageous, more tenacious, more better able to love. And I think that the books are about hope. It's about the possibility that there can be a good relationship, a loving, respectful relationship. And, you know, it's a powerful thing to hold out that possibility. And, you know, women have told me they've left abusive relationships because, you know, they read a romance novel in which a woman did leave an abusive relationship, and it inspired them to leave. Like, I deserve better. I shouldn't stick with this.
How reflective of the times have these books been?
Great question. Mary Bly, who's one of my main characters, who's a Shakespeare professor by day, romance author by night, thinks that these books are almost a barometer of where the culture's at and what the culture's anxieties are, so that the themes in them are universal and ancient, but they're all set in situations and working out problems that are very much of the time in which they're written. So, you know, after Katrina, there was a whole spate of, you know, paranormal and disaster novels where forces way more powerful than the main characters were at play. And I think that you can see this all the way through time.
In that, seeing that all the way through time, and realize this was not your focus, but is there even a male equivalent?
I guess the male equivalent is, you know, suspense thrillers, mm-hmm. Which people read at the beach and on the train and go through, you know, they're meant to be page turners, and they're quite similar. And they're, like all genre fiction, those also deal with archetypal virtues and end happily. But, you know, the attitude toward romance is completely different. I mean, women tell me that when they're on the train or they're at the beach, a complete stranger will walk up to them and say, "Why do you read that trash?" And I can't imagine someone walking up to a man on a train or at the beach and saying, "Why do you read that trash?" if they were reading Stephen King or a suspense thriller, you know, David Baldacci, whatever.
Right.
So there's a lot of gendered attitudes that my film explores as well.
This is a huge project for you. It is not only the film, but also has a website, which is popularromanceproject.org. It is a project. You have a conference at the Library of Congress, and there's a nationwide library program. Talk a little bit about how those pieces fit together and ultimately what the goal is for you.
Also a great question. So we started out, the idea was to do something that it was a multi-platform project. I think the NEH was trying to see if, with all of these different ways of getting information and stories out into the world, that they wanted to see a project that tried to pull, to do something on many platforms but make it coherent. So we started out, when I started, you know, developing the film, as we were developing the film and eventually shooting, we started a website from the very first day I was shooting called PopularRomanceProject.org. And it had little excerpts of interviews that I was doing with authors, editors, scholars from literature, history, women's studies, sociology. And those excerpts were up there, and also blogs by people about topics as varied as, you know, medieval troubadour songs, and what is the role of Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate, and, you know, pop music songs and in Korea, whatever. So we started that to sort of get a discussion going and to get people thinking about the bigger issues and the humanities issues that are inherent in a subject like this, because you could come at it from so many different angles. So I was shooting, that website was up, and that was sort of leading toward the finishing of the film, which was simultaneous with the big conference. So the film was the opening night of the Library of Congress conference. And the next day we had four panels and a lot of interactive activities that people could do. And we had panels on, we had people there who never normally speak to each other. So it was authors and editors from the romance community, but then there were scholars from literature, from history, from sociology, and bloggers all talking with each other. And the place was packed. It was quite exciting. And now I'm getting the film out into the world, and we're using the Popular Romance Project website, also a lovebetweenthecovers.com website. And we've also got lots of social media that we got started. And all of these things are feeding each other. And the material that we put up at popularromanceproject.org will also be useful when we get library programs going around the country built around this, so that people can discuss all kinds of issues that are brought up by the film and by the website. And we also, you know, are going to put the video of the conference up at our website and the Library of Congress website. And the Library of Congress is going to be involved with this library program with the American Library Association. And the people who did the website, you know, have been involved with the film. So we've all tried to coordinate efforts and make sure that each piece of this strengthens the others.
Well, it's a fascinating project, and you can learn more about Love Between the Covers by visiting lovebetweenthecovers.com or popularromanceproject.org. Lovebetweenthecovers.com or popularromanceproject.org. Lori Kahn, thank you very much for joining us. A great pleasure, and best of luck in your work.
Thanks very much. It was really enjoyable.
Thank you so much. We post all of our segments online, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.